thank you for your specific prayer for our family. We definitely need it. I mentioned in Sunday school the specific prayer request and the answer to prayer, direct answer to prayer within a few weeks about the political situation there in Ecuador. Another way that you can pray for us is pray for rain for Ecuador. They are going through a drought, the worst drought that has been they've been dealing with in the past 60 years. And where it affects us is in the electrical supply. They rely on hydroelectric power. So if there's no rain, and there hasn't been rain for over a year and a half, substantial enough to fill up the rivers and the dams, they are rationing power. And so right when we left, they were rationing power for up to a couple hours a day. Last couple of weeks, it's been up to 12 hours a day. And so imagine that, not having any light, any electricity for 12 hours, half your day. Most of the time, they do that overnight. And but they will do it in chunks of like 4 or 5 hours at a time. So you'll have it for a few hours during the day, and then it'll shut off again and come back and that kind of thing. Right now, this coming week, it's they have only about 7 hours of electricity provided. So incredible what is going on. But an answer to prayer in that, in pray for rain so that they can stay stable with the electrical supply. Part of what we deal with in a third world country. Not everything is a guarantee. We don't always have water. We don't always have electrical supply. Internet is pretty stable, but for whatever reason, because it's private, I should say, and we won't get political in that. But pray for rain for Ecuador. Lord has answered a specific prayer request in that way before we even knew how to ask. And in 2022, February 2022, we felt the Lord directing us to a specific neighborhood, and that even came down to looking for a building and where that building was located. And maybe you wrote a prayer letter that said, pray for wisdom as we're searching for a building, something like that. We know God answered that prayer because of where we're located and the benefit it's been of being on that specific street and had the exposure it gets us on the main road and that kind of thing for a number of different answers to prayer. But here's one specifically related to the electrical supply. It's on the same street as the electrical company. So guess who never gets disconnected? The electrical company, but also us, no? And so that's a blessing. Before we even had all this, this all started about a year ago. We had the building for well before that. And we felt like, oh, it's a great location. The Lord is leading us to it. But we never crossed our mind, they'll start shutting off power and we'll have it. But yet, the Lord knew it. The Lord knew it even before this whole crisis began occurring. And certainly he's the one that controls nature, even control where we put our building. And it's been a blessing every single Sunday to have the lights on, have everything working, and the sound system and piano and just every single building there, every single room, having the lights and not having to worry about anything like that. And it's been a huge blessing. Our house sometimes in the Sunday morning would not have power, and we just have to get ready just the best we can. But we get to church, and there's power. And so it's been a blessing, an answer to prayer even before we knew how to ask, because God hears and answers prayer. When we pray for wisdom, he knows. And he put us in a specific place to be able to serve the Lord there in Quito. It's been a blessing. One other thing that I love about Ecuador is the flowers. It's a beautiful place to live. Majority of flowers come from Ecuador, and during we have a growing season almost all year round. And roses are a huge product that gets exported all around the world. If you buy flowers in Valentine's Day, the majority of them are going to come from Ecuador. And the prices you pay are going to be much more than we pay there. We can buy on the street corner a dozen roses for $2. And I'm sure you're not going to be able to pay that for Valentine's Day. But it's a beautiful country. And we have many different rose plants, bushes, even right in our own very garden. We're just walking down the streets. You see the people with their flowers that they grow. And there's constant blooms. There's constant flourishing growth. And it's just a beautiful place to live. In many parts of the city, it would be ugly without it, with all the concrete and the graffiti and the dirt and the dust and trash. But yet we have a beautiful plant growing, and it adds just a little life to a very concrete jungle. The word flourish is a word that Paul used in the passage I want to look at this morning to describe the growing of a giving through a local church to missions. And so let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, please. Verses 10 through 20 is the passage we're going to look at this morning. really, I believe I have the privilege, like the Apostle Paul, to thank a local church for their giving to a ministry. And that is really my focus of the passage in applying it, is to really just to be able to say thank you for your care and support and communication, carefulness regarding our ministry. We appreciate you. And I really want to add on to what Paul is saying here, applying it to our life, and that every believer should be willing to participate in the cause of the gospel through their giving all around the world. And really, I'm sharing this from a thankfulness aspect. Thank you for giving to your ministry, to your missions program. We would not be able to serve the Lord without it. And we are so thankful for it. Paul begins this book by saying, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. Paul was overjoyed for the opportunity to be able to write this letter to this church and to say thank you. And in this passage, chapter 4, specifically for your financial giving. So let's read this here. Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 20 says this. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, where you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound everywhere, and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done, that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all, in abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Three simple things. As I say thank you through this passage to your missions giving to us. Three simple things that I see that Paul is thanking this church for, or in this passage. First of all, he's giving thanks for their care. Their care for him, and then we'll look in a few minutes at their communication with him, how they communicated with that church, but also for their consecration of their funds to him. And we want to really just echo what Paul is writing here. Your care for our ministry. Look with up me again in verse 10, and it says this, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also, and here it is again, careful. But ye lacked opportunity. Careful there, full of care. This church demonstrated through their personal love for Paul, through their desire to share their giving. Ashley, could I have a cup of water or something? I think I have some coffee on the table back there. My throat's getting a little dry. I'm going to lose it in here in a few minutes if I don't. Thank you. They were care. Their care of him was a blessing to his ministry. And really, I'd like to reiterate that. Thank you for being careful for your missionaries. Looking at this hallway in the back, you've got them all on there. You've got their pictures, their prayer letters. It's been a blessing to be full, that your church is full of care for your ministry. You have a personal love for your missions program. This church was literally full of care, careful. You were in, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Some of the results I see here in this passage for Paul, recognizing their care of him. First of all, he had the ability to rejoice. He said here in verse 10, but I rejoiced in the Lord. He had the opportunity to be thankful. And that is a result, a genuine result of care for a church, for a missionary. That missionary then has the opportunity to rejoice. And it's a great privilege that we have here this morning to rejoice along with you for your care of missionaries all around the world. And yes, we'll be able to take a little time with our family to rest and relax and be able to spend some time. And many people have told me, thank you, Pastor, I appreciate that. Your care of me with the water. be able to take some time in January and February to spend some time with our sending church, Pennsylvania there, to be able to just kind of get our feet underneath us. And right now we're spending about a week and a half here in Michigan traveling around. We have several supporting churches in this area. Really, we've been in the Midwest in general since we arrived here in October. And the Lord has given us support that is focused in two areas within 4 or 5 hour drive from Milwaukee, where I grew up. My parents still live. That's one of our home bases. And then our main home base is the state of Pennsylvania, where our sending church is located. Again, another 4 or 5 hour radius there, getting into Virginia, West Virginia, and those areas, about 4 or 5 hour drive from our home there in Pennsylvania. So we have the privilege of being kind of at home at these two bases, but to be able to say thank you for your care of our ministry. They had the opportunity, really, this whole section here in this passage here is Paul's appreciation for their generosity. So it's definitely a result of missions giving is the opportunity for rejoicing. I also see here that part of the care, a result of that, is more opportunities. It wasn't just a one-time gift, but this church was careful in the fact that they were following along the ministry of Paul. And when a new need arised, we find that word that your care of me hath flourished again. It has bloomed again. What a picture we have of that here in Michigan and in the United States. We have certain periods where there is not a growing season, where we have snow and it's cold and there's nothing really blooming. But in a couple of months and before long, it won't be too long, even though we're right now at the door of winter, we're just getting into it. It's going to be over soon, right? Just keep thinking about that. How many of you are already sick of snow? Anybody? All right, very good. Well, you got a few more months, but then you're going to have that growing season again. It's going to bloom. You're going to see those buds open, those trees flower, those plants grow up, and it's the tulips even. I don't know if this area has many or if you've planted them around your house. Middle of winter, it seems like right on the tail end, you'll see that flourish again. And that's exactly what Paul writes up here. They didn't have an opportunity. They were kind of in a situation where Paul didn't need the funds or they weren't aware of the funds or whatever reason. They had a new opportunity to be able to give. And that is definitely a result of care for a missionary, an opportunity that would rise again. But I also see here another result is the Lord showed supernatural provision through this church's giving. And I believe really that Paul is recognizing that the Lord is the one that caused that to give again. This church was simply ready. But the Lord allowed a need to be shared through other people, through following along the ministry of Paul. And it's really the Lord of the harvest that burdened this church to say, wow, we've got to give again. The Lord that opened the door and that stirred the heart and allowed that gift to be sent to Paul. And so the Lord has supernaturally providing for missionaries all around the world, including our ministry, through the Lord stirring in your hearts. And we look at that as the deputation process, traveling around, the Lord working in local congregation to say, yes, we want to have a part in the ministry there in the Accurate family in Ecuador. The Lord supernaturally providing. We're so thankful that the Lord continues to provide. Our support through COVID remained faithful. We had no drops. We had no issues there. Lord blessed, even with our family size increasing and the fluctuation that we've seen, even in inflation and that kind of thing, we don't have the need to raise more support. We're right at where the Lord wants us to be, and we're fully supported. We don't lack anything. The Lord provides, but the Lord really, and we see it here through this passage and in our own life, the Lord provides through the people in the pew, His people. And what a privilege it is for us to be able to say thank you for giving to our ministry. Your care has allowed the Lord to provide. But I also see here, in addition to all these things, their care was a team effort. The Lord used this local body of believers to be able to send money to Paul as he's planting a church in a different part of the world. The Lord used a team. And that's really a picture of what we need to do today, the biblical basis for our mission support and something we are endeavoring to train our people as well. It's a team effort. We need churches, and we're so thankful for your care, really joining on and being a part of our team there in Ecuador. This is how the Lord worked back and for Paul, a local church supporting Paul, the missionary, working today your local church supporting our missions work there. This church was ready to take care of Paul. They were full of care. And when the opportunity arised, they were right there and ready. Really, that readiness is something that defines us as Americans, being ready to step in. Think about the hurricanes that occurred down there in the Carolinas, Tennessee, in that area. How many stories have you heard about people that just dropped everything and they went down to build a house or help somebody out or pump, took some things down? And we've seen that the American people are ready, much more nimble and able and efficient than even our government and the government associations that they put together to be able to supposedly help these people. What really works better is the churches teaming together, the individuals, construction companies that are ready, and the resilience of the American people. And I think God has uniquely gifted American churches to be able to be ready to support missionaries. And that was simple. That was also the church here at Philippi. They were ready. They lacked an opportunity, but when that opportunity arrived, they were ready. And really, it's that truth that we've seen that we should be ready to give, be full of care for our missionaries. In the same way, we are soldiers of Jesus Christ. We are called to be ever ready to answer His call. Our personal affairs should never take precedence above or priority over our commitment to serve Him. This church sacrificed their own personal needs to be able to give to Paul. I don't know your personal story, but like Paul, I am rejoicing that you all were ready over the past five years to maybe even sacrifice your own personal needs to be ready to give to our ministry. Thank you for your care of us. Maybe there's someone here that the Lord is touching your heart right now. You haven't been ready. You haven't been careful for missionaries. Maybe today be a changing point in your life. May you be willing to care more, give more, to be thankful more for God's care for you, and to give more to your local church and its missions program. Rejoice with me, please, of God's giving in your missions program. I hear the testimony of your pastor that you have the opportunity now to take on several more missionaries. What a blessing that is. Really a testament to your willingness to give and your care for missionaries around the world. God wants to use you. Thank you for your family. Be encouraged what God has done and the part you play in missionaries all around the world. Second aspect I see of this church here, why Paul could say thank you was not only for their care, but also for their communication with him. Look with me. Let's continue reading. We just read in verse 10 about his care. Look with me at verse 11. We're going to read over a little portion here that talks about Paul being willing to sacrifice all for the cause of the gospel. It says this, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have done well that ye did communicate with my affliction." Verse 15 continues on with that second aspect I'd like to share with you, communication with your missionary. It says this, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." In verse 18, we found someone that was named Epaphroditus, and he probably literally carried the communication with him. He definitely carried the gift from Paul, from the Philippian church here to Paul, but Paul was grateful to recognize the church communicating with them. And we're thankful for you all, for reading our prayer letters, for displaying it. Our communication is a little bit different today. It's not like in the times of Paul when it was a literal messenger taking a letter, parchment or whatever it was, and taking it to the church to be read aloud. Today we have instant messaging. We have Facebook, we have email, we have even that old snail mail to be able to communicate with the missionaries. Even in maybe 100 years ago, you'd send off a missionary on a ship and you might never see him again. You might get a letter in the mail or something that would be months or even years behind. But churches that have taken seriously their burden from their mission field have always communicated. And we, as your missionary, like Paul, would like to say thank you for your communicating with us, for reading our prayer letter, for praying about it, for hearing about it, for remembering our family. Your communication with your missionary. Communication, I think, here with Paul had to do with sharing and is participating, entering into a partnership with that, with him. They heard of a need. They heard of his physical need, and they began to share in it. They knew of his hardships. Paul, in verses 11 through 13, speaks about the afflictions that he was going through, the persecution that came from government, the hardship, the hunger that he mentions, the want, the literal lack of something, being abased. Paul was no stranger to difficult times. And this church, through the communication, heard about that. They identified with him, and they decided to help out in that need. Communicate. They entered into a partnership. They were willing to be associated with Paul, even during a difficult legal battle. He was imprisoned. He was beaten. But yet they were willing to hear from him, send to him, identify with him, to partner with him. They were willing to participate by financially meeting some of his needs. They were willing to suffer lack by giving through their missions program. Many of you read that urgent prayer request, that communication that we sent out in January. And I believe, like I mentioned in Sunday school, that it is a direct answer to the prayer of God's people. They partnered with us in prayer. They participated in that heart-stirring time, that difficult time, by praying directly for us. Maybe you weren't living through it, obviously, being here in Michigan, isolated from it, but yet you identified with us and prayed for us specifically for our protection, our strength, our wisdom. Your communication made the Lord heard and answered that prayer. And I am convinced that we are able to continue there in Ecuador because of the communication of God's people. There's been many times I've written down several answers to prayer that I've sent out a prayer letter for. Put in there, please pray for us on this. And the Lord has directly answered that prayer within a matter of weeks or days from sending that out. God answers prayer. Thank you for your communication with us. This church, I believe, initiated that communication. They reached out to Paul through Epaphroditus or through other means, and they began communicating, they began giving, partnering with him, sharing their expenses, and this church is an example to us today. We ought to be willing to not only care for our missionaries, but also communicate with them. Thank you for your communication with us. The third aspect I see of this passage, why Paul was able to say thank you to this church and rejoice with them, was that they consecrated their possessions to the Lord. Not just their care, not just their communication, but their consecration. Look with me at verses 17 through 20. It says this: not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. This church was willing to consecrate their possessions to the Lord. They were willing to offer a cherished sacrifice to Paul. Paul uses some words there in verse 18 that help us think about the Old Testament, a sweet smell, like an incense that the priest would offer in the tabernacle or the temple unto the Lord. A sacrifice acceptable, obviously like the sacrificial system there in the Old Testament, but now not. This was not a live animal killed for the Lord, but rather something placed as an offering that met a tangible need for Paul. Something that was received well-pleasing to the Lord. Makes me think of Cain and Abel. Both sacrifices, but one was well-pleasing to the Lord. And Paul is saying here, your care of me, your communication for me, your gift to me, your meeting that financial need was a blessing because it was a cherished sacrifice to the Lord. The Lord calls us to sacrifice many things. Especially in the New Testament, no longer do we have to sacrifice an animal, but the Lord asks us in Romans chapter 12 to sacrifice ourselves. And here, I believe Paul recognized that not all will be able to go to a foreign land, but all can sacrifice something for the cause of the gospel. Cherish sacrifice. It's an important part of worship. It's not just for Paul. It's not just for the pastor, the missionary. It was for every individual in that church. And we sincerely believe and preach the priesthood of every believer. And many times we think of that only as our prayer life. That we can have that privilege of growing directly into the throne room of God. But the priesthood of the believer also has to do with our sacrifice of ourselves, of our time, of our resources. But the blessed hope, the cherished sacrifice that we have here is that it is well-pleasing to the Lord. It's received by the Lord, and He is pleased by it. It's an important part of our worship. It's not just the time to spend to pass the plate and hear a beautiful instrumental musical. It's part of our worship. It's an odor, a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable. It's well-pleasing to the Lord. Paul thanks the church for that cherished sacrifice. But he also tells them it's a commendable deed. Look with me at verse 14. Paul writes that they were the only ones that communicated with him. But look with me at verse 14. It says, notwithstanding ye have well done. It was a good thing. It was a commendable deed. He is giving thanks to them for saying, for sending and meeting his financial need. It was commendable. They had done well. It was a good thing. And it completed a need. Consecrating our resources to the Lord is a cherished sacrifice. It's a commendable deed, but it completes a literal need. Verse 18, look, get with me. It says this, but I have all and abound. I am full. Having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. This church learned of a need. And here in verse 13 and 12 and 13, he talks about that Paul was in a financial need. He'd had nothing. But now in verse 18, after he received their gift, he was full. And that literally means that he had eaten well. He was full. His body was full. He was no longer hungry. He abound. He was no longer abased. He was no longer suffering want. He had more than he needed. It was abounding. It was flourishing again. It was growing. It was multiplying. Having received the things which were sent from you. And like Paul, we as missionaries have the opportunity to say thank you for that. Completing our need. We can live and serve there in Ecuador and abound, have all and be full because of financial support for churches in your church, from churches. I would like to add in as well, thank you for allowing us to stay right here in your building, for dedicating that little section, that prophet's chamber, for us to be able to stay, and it's really met our needs for this weekend. Having a place for our children to rest, having that second room there for our family. So what a blessing it is. Thank you for your care for us in that way, completing that need. Paul recognized that he had all that he needed and more because God's people were giving to him in his ministry. They consecrated a sacrifice. It completed his need. But for this church, I believe that it was also a confession of dependency on the Lord. It was a way that they would say, Lord, we know of this need in our missionary. We don't know perhaps how we're going to meet it, but here's something. And they place something on the altar. And Paul recognized that in verse 19. It says this, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Simply put, Paul is saying this, look, before I received from you, I was hungry. I had nothing. I didn't know how I was going to meet my needs. You heard about that? You sent it to me, and now I've got everything I need. And I see that your church, talking to the church at Philippi, now you guys are in the need because you met mine. Now you're the ones that are hungry. Now you're the ones that don't know how you're going to make ends meet. But listen, if God provided for my need, God can meet your need as well. And what a privilege and what a promise that is for us today. And this is not just for the church. Remember, this is inspired by the Holy Spirit, written by Paul for us today. Maybe you have a need because you were able to give to another person. And that very same promise there in verse 19 is for us. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. It's a confession of dependency, an expression of our dependency and yieldedness on God. When he places something in our heart, we've ought to do it in obedience to him. And we know that God will supply our need. Paul closes this passage by glorifying the Lord. God's going to supply your need. Let's give him the glory. Consecrating part of our possessions for the cause of the mission field is not just a commendable deed. It's not just a cherished sacrifice. It doesn't just complete a need. It's not just confessing our dependency on God, but it also is a cause for glorifying the Lord. And Paul does just that in verse 20. He says this, "Now unto our God, and unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever." He's glorifying the Lord and thanking this church. May we never lose sight of the fact that the widow's mind is what supports the ministry. But our focus is not on the individual nor on the gift. Our focus is not pharisaical in what we can do to be seen of men, but rather to give glory to God. Whether little or great, that ought to be our focus. Giving glory to God forever and ever. Someone once said, "Only when we discover the grace of giving do we experience the joy of living." Sacrifice, offerings, are not simply God's plan for financing his work, but I believe it's primarily the means by which he develops a believer. It's acknowledgement that all we have is from the Lord. That we are not owners of anything, but simply responsible for everything. Some of our church members really sacrifice to give to the Lord. One of the big steps of faith that our church took in the last year and a half was renting the second floor of the building where we're located. Lord led us to a storefront property, small, but it was sufficient for our needs to begin with. We further divided that area into form a nursery and a small classroom and then the auditorium area. As we grew, that auditorium area really became too small. It could fit probably 25 to 30 people initially, but we quickly grew past that point and we were putting in chairs as much as we could, and it was uncomfortable, it was hot, it was tight, claustrophobic, and we started praying about what we should do. The second floor of our building, we're in an office space, if you can imagine that. We have a first floor location that used to be a bank, and then above it was the offices connected by an inner staircase. And we started praying for how the Lord would lead us in either renting that or moving to a different location. And I put it towards the church. They saw the need. They were, you know, bumping elbows every Sunday with everybody. And I placed before them, "Look, we have an opportunity here. By renting the second floor, we can use that as the classroom space. We can open up some of the walls that we put up here and have a larger auditorium and move some of the classrooms and the things we're doing downstairs to upstairs." But I've challenged them with this. Let's do it in a way that that the additional rent, and it was $300 a month, would come directly from the giving of the church. We would continue our ministry fund through the giving of the churches, through Baptist World Mission and the support of our family, continue supplying the rent for the first floor. But if we could expand and move forward, if the church would consecrate $300 a month to renting out that second floor. We took about a month to pray about it. Took several trips up as a church to go to take the church members to come see it so they could put eyes to it and begin praying about it. Showed them how we would kind of develop it into meeting our needs. It was just one big open area. We'd have to open up some walls to be able to get access to that staircase from our current location up to that second floor. take a little bit of renovation work. But our church decided, they took that through a unanimous vote to rent that second floor. And it was not just after that step of faith. Really, if looking at the giving, it would be very, it was like neck and neck. It was what we were receiving of the offering would pay for everything, would basically pay for the rent. So basically, in a month, we were receiving $300, and that was exactly the rent that we needed. So the things like the electric bill, the internet, the different other water bill, and those things that the church was already paying for would be kind of tight for them. So there was that financial step of faith. But the biggest step forward, I think, was not in the giving. When we took that step of faith and the people recognizing we've got to step up in our giving started something, I think, amazing in the heart of the church people, because we saw them take ownership, I believe, of that church. And we saw growth not only in the financial giving, but also in the outreach, in people bringing their family members, their friends. They started really taking on some of these ministries that we had been doing, our family, the teaching and the cleaning and those types of things. They really stepped up and said, this is our church, and started bringing people. Before, it might have been just our family handing out flyers or doing some of the street evangelism, but little by little, even today, even right now in our absence, our church people are reaching out. And I think the biggest turning point for our church plant was when we put that as a step of faith. We don't know how we're going to do this, but if the Lord leads you to do it and it comes from you, let's do it and let's move forward. And so within June, 2 years ago, we started, 1 year ago now, we started renting that second floor, made the necessary renovations all from within the church people ourselves. You saw some of the renovations there in our video, perhaps. Had the opportunity to work alongside of men and women. We did it on special work days and that type of thing to be able to make that second floor into a space that we have classrooms, nursery, fellowship hall space, and then open up our auditorium to now fit up to 100 people, I believe. Numerically, now the church, the offerings have moved forward where they are providing for the rent for both floors. And I don't think we would have gotten to that point if we had not taken a step of faith, if that church had not taken a step of faith and said, yes, we'll do it. But here's the thing. These church members decided to give to the Lord, to perhaps meet a need in their local congregation that they might that might have caused them to be in need. We have several members in our church that ride the bus. They come in from different parts of the city on public transportation, and the public transportation is 35 cents one way for one bus. If they take multiples, it's another 35 cents. There's no real interchange there. There's not one ticket that you can buy and then ride around. You get 35 cents per bus. So many of them basically are just living on what they can make. These would be the poorer people, poorest people in there in Ecuador, in Quito especially. They might be just selling something. They have informal jobs, no real employment. So if they can sell something during the week, they'll set aside their 70 cents or whatever, 35 cents one way, and then a little bit to give in the offering. And they will literally not know where their next meal comes from because they've got their little offering, their money set aside, and I don't think I've ever been in a point of time that I have not known where I could come up with 35 cents. And I haven't lived extravagantly. My family is just a simple city family in the city of Milwaukee, and we went through a lot of time of need, a lot of difficult time. I was pretty much a bus kid, reached through a ministry of the local church. My family is not well off, but I think we never had a time when there was never 35 cents, but that's a lot of our people there in Ecuador. They struggle to be able to just get to church, but it's amazing. I've seen them sacrifice a meal, sacrifice a need that they have. I have one family in our church that is like this. They don't even have a refrigerator, but they set aside their 35 cents every week so that they can get to church. And it's a blessing to see how the Lord provides in each and every way, how the Lord provides, supplies all of their need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So why are we ministering there? Why do we need your support? Why do we have the opportunity to say thank you? I believe it's because of what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians. He wrote about this church giving to them, 2 Corinthians 11:9. You don't have to go there. It says this, "And when I was present with you," he's writing to the church in Corinth, "and wanted or was in need, I was chargeable to no man." He didn't go to that local church in Corinth and say, "I need to eat. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia," that's this church at Philippi, "supplied, and in all things I have kept myself from being a burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself." The biblical principle for mission support is that right there. Paul went out to start a church. Paul recognized the financial need that and the ethical about giving the gospel to us in starting a church, but God provided for the brethren of Macedonia, the brethren of Philippi that he's writing to right here, so that he was not chargeable to that local congregation. We've seen that here. The Lord allows this church in Quito to provide for its rent, to pay its electrical bill, to pay for its water bill, but they're not chargeable to us. We don't receive from them because the Lord has provided through brethren of the United States to be able to minister there and provide for our every need. And I think our church would recognize that and say thank you to you. Lord, it provides for our need. Hebrews 13:16 talks about that. "But to do good and to communicate, forget not." Paul was thankful to this church for their care, for their communication, and for their consecration of their resources to them so that he could minister and live among the people there in Corinth and all around East Asia, Asia Minor, I should say. Paul recognized that he had more than he needed because of God's people. What can you sacrifice for the Lord? How can you rejoice even more today in what God has done through your ministry? Maybe the Lord would be laying on someone's heart today that you're doing good in your giving, but the Lord wants more. Lord wants you. Lord wants you perhaps to be a minister, to be a missionary in your area right here, to bring someone to church, to share the gospel. Maybe the Lord would even be putting in someone's heart the foreign land. Foreign country that you've been thinking about or praying about, God might be using that to call you there. What can you lay down at the Master's feet? Would you be willing to give your life? I believe every believer should biblically focus on giving for missions, caring for their missionary, communicating, consecrating. And though I am applying that right now in this statement, really, this passage is an echo. I simply like to echo what Paul is writing here. Thank you for your care, communication, your consecration of your resources to help us to be able to minister there. May God do so much more. May God continue to bless you. And may we be grateful for all that the Lord has provided for us. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because God supplies every need. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to be here to share these things with this precious church. Lord, I don't know how you're using this passage, but use it in each and every heart. Use it in my own. May I not be unique in that. Lord, convict me. Help me to give. Help me to serve. Help me to love as you would have me to do. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.